offspring. The whole world is grooming in darkness, but we are children of the light, and God bid us to walk in the light. There's darkness around us now. This is the evening time. It's later than you think. Let's sing that song tonight. This is the evening time.
Yeah. very special for Sister Mary Weston for a spiritual awakening in her life. Paul McDavid Jr. wants his best prayer for a spiritual awakening in his life. Also, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. For the Arthur Coffee, we just prayed for a total deliverance from the devils that have attacked him with chicken pox, fever, and headache. Sister Matthews desire a greater measure of sincerity towards God in her life. Also, the baptism of the Holy Ghost in her soul. Sister David Weston, we just prayed for a co worker, Allison Jai Karan Singh, who asked that prayer be offered for a lump on the left breast, also for the salvation of a soul. So good to see many recognizing the spiritual needs, knowing that God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. That's why He came and died. That's why He suffered. That's why He rose triumphantly, to seal it and to make it a sure promise. The Holy Spirit has come back upon all those who would empty out and willing to receive Him. Let's have faith in that and let's believe. God is here amongst us. And whatever the need might be, God is more than able. The Bible says more than able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or even think. Blessed be Your name, Father. Almighty God, we thank You tonight. Lord, to recognize Your grace being extended unto us. Father, to see that You love us, Lord. And You Yourself have come down in a dark and cloudy day, Lord, seeking out Your sheep, the great shepherd, leaving the 99 looking for that last one. And oh God, as we are gathered here tonight in these services, it's written that no man could come except the Father draws him. And all that the Father hath given me will come. And Lord, believe that You have drawn us here. Whether we might be visitor, stranger, believer. Oh God, we believe it is You who have attracted us, who have caused it that we would be gathered here in this building tonight. Lord, recognizing that it is not within man to direct his own steps, but the footsteps of the righteous is ordered of the Lord. And recognizing, Lord, that You are in our presence. You are amongst us tonight. Lord, we come humbly before You, confessing our sins and our shortcomings, all our mistakes, Father. Lord, we ask that the bleach of the blood of Jesus Christ will be applied to our confessed sins tonight. And Lord God, You'd break up every stain, Lord. And Lord, the Spirit of God will come upon each and every one, Father, that's hungering and thirsting and seeking You, Lord. He said, You'll be found of them. You'll give them rest unto their souls. Come unto Me, all ye labor and heavily laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you the real Sabbath, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is what You said, Father. Lord, we receive that tonight in our hearts as we stand here in Your presence. These requests, Father, that we have read tonight, Lord, I see Your children crying out for spiritual things, Lord. Their affection, seven things above. They're living for Me that perisheth not. Oh God, for they realize that all that they are living in the Holy Spirit, taking the word, Lord, and showing them, Lord. And Lord God, they want to have the token, knowing that the only thing will stay the wrath of God. Too long we've been gathering, talking about the message, but Lord, it's to apply the token. When we see the end time signs, Lord, it's time to move into Goshen and be under the blood. Father, I pray tonight that the Holy Spirit will speak so direct, Lord, so personal, Lord.
and the world will go deep down. You will root out all unbelief, Father. There will be a shaking, Lord. There will be emptying out. There will be a killing. That there could be a real revival in every heart tonight. Lord God, grant the need, every need tonight. That is here amongst the people, those have been read, those that the people are holding in their hearts. Hallelujah. Lord, whatever the needs are tonight, may you, the all-sufficient God, our God, the I am that I am, meet it tonight, Father. You know what we have need of even before we ask. And Lord God, all of us, one common need, a clear understanding of your word. Teach us, Lord. Enlighten us. We might know the hope of our calling. We might know how to stand in this evil day. The Lord God, we might recognize your will and purpose of our lives. Lord God, the word of God can just put us in a channel where the Holy Spirit and mind of Christ could move him. That Lord God, that promise that says, let this mind that was in Christ be in you. And how you taught it never rubbing to be equal with God. And in this day, Father, we see another one who could come and take that same scripture. Who taught it never rubbing to be equal with God. That even spoke things into existence. Lord, let it be tonight. When this world is going insane. Bible says they're blind and wretched and miserable and naked and don't even know it. How they've lost their spiritual faculties. But Lord, the transforming power that's laying in the hearts of your people to transform them by the renewing of their minds. Let it work in our hearts tonight as we sit in your presence. As your quickening power will come upon us. May the transforming power just go to work and transform us, Father. Let me leave this service, you can know that we have been closer drawn to you. We've been changed more in your image and more in your likeness. That you can look down and see your own faith, your own birth, your own knowledge, your own life. You can say, this is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter who I'm pleased to dwell in. You can sit down, Lord, with a capstone of love and cap of the pyramid of our lives. There could be a super church on display upon the face of this earth. Grant it, Father. Bless your word to our hearts tonight. And bless it with a true understanding by the Holy Spirit. That we might be edified and strengthened, for we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ, who made the promise. Amen and amen. Turn to the Bibles tonight. Let's get the scripture again. Revelation 6 and Revelation 19. While they find it, we have a note of praise. Sister Jacinta, we'd like to praise God's holy name for helping us overcome the enemy who tried to hinder us from coming to meet with the Lord. And I would also want to thank him for the flogging that I got last night in the service. I thank God in advance for more to come. Amen. Amen. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. When a child knows the father loves them, that whatever he do for them is with an intent to make them a better Christian. Really appreciate seeing everyone out and being here early, praying. May God richly bless you tonight and give you the desire of your heart. Verse 7, verse 8, the fourth seal. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the four living creatures say, come and see. And I looked and behold a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed him, and power was given unto him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death. I'm a beast of the earth. Revelation 19. Verse 17 to 21. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a
loud voicing to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. He made the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth and their armies. Notice that they're the beasts, the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake, a fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant was slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, with sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Almighty God, Father, we have read it. The prophet always made mention of it, Lord, and how true it is that anybody with the ability could read it. But we take the Holy Spirit himself to come and quicken, to make it real and give us the divine understanding. We might be enlightened as to these prophetic things is laying here, which you have put in a symbol form to hide it from the wise and prudent. But Lord, you have come in this hour to reveal it unto your bride. Speak to our hearts tonight, Lord. Make these things plain, for we ask it in thy precious name, for your honor and for your glory. Amen. You may have a seat. Want to go right in the message tonight. Last night we took a lot of time just making mention of a lot of things that really we didn't intend to spend the amount of time on. And the message was so lengthy. To get it out, I thought I'd be able to cover it and didn't even really maybe get to the scripture after. But I trust tonight that you come with your spiritual caps on and you have your seatbelt fastened and you come to study into the Word of God and be enlightened, and you come with that type of attitude to grasp what the Holy Spirit is saying, what God is giving out. You didn't just come because you had nothing else to do and just come to hear something else, but you come knowing that when the Holy Spirit would shine light upon His Word, that He might enlighten us, is to make us a better people. And when God will give us understanding, is to enable us to be able to live above the conditions that many times oppress us and tie us down and have us so defeated. So I pray tonight, everyone from the eldest to the youngest, by the grace of God, that God would give you a revelation, because many a time it's not to know too much of things really, but it's really to be able to understand what God is doing. To be able to recognize your word being fulfilled. To be able to see it taking place in your life. To give you a personal identification with it. And then to be convinced that these things that you know and desire to study and look into and have been spoken unto us by a prophet, that it is the truth. You know, and you find it very strange in this day that we're living in, after having the message in its fullness for 21 years now, since the seven seals have been opened up and the book have been uncovered and all the hidden mysteries in the Bible have been sounded out, yet you find that the multitude of people that profess to believe the message, they say, "We believe it. Do you believe it?" "Yes, I believe it." But you know, up until 1965, the prophet said they were hearing it intellectually. And then you find that the people who didn't even hear it around from 63 to 65, well, they never even hear it intellectually, much as they hear it. Amen. And then after, you find many people they who come in later on, the first hearing you hear many a times would be hearing it intellectually. Amen. Until it really begin to be revealed. And then in another place he says 98% of the believer, the people's faith is mental faith. That's why the gates of hell is prevailing against them. But when they come a spiritual revelation, then you're going to actually see the church rising to its height. And you know, the prophet come there and he's watching over the church and he would travel along the
the world where he'd be preaching the message that God given for the generation. And what he observed and what he saw, the conditions, and what he saw that the people was failing to grasp that God was sounding and revealing, he would try to, you know, bring the message in a way to catch their minds and focus their attention. Even one time he had the questions and answers and all these things to try to find out what was upon the people's hearts, what was blocking the true understanding from coming in, what kind of conceptions they had. And when he did ask the questions and answers, you saw the carnality that was laid inside the people, that they thought the millennium had started. When he measured the city, the people were supposed to move in 1,500 miles to Jeffersonville and live. They wanted to sell out all the things and go and follow in the wilderness and all this type of thing. And you hear him praying and saying, Lord, I saw the fanaticism follow Luther, and I saw it follow Wesley, and I saw it follow the Pentecostals. He says, I know that it can't help but follow this message also. He says, but I pray that, you know, that the message don't ever end up, you know, in any confusion, any contrary things. And we know that the message will end up there, but a lot of people who profess the message and who may half believe the message could end up there. Because the only thing to really keep you from ending up a wreck is for the Holy Spirit to have full control of your life. Because the Bible says no man is able to pluck him out of your hand. Pluck you out of his hand. So it means to say that if you would be in his hand, completely yielded to him, that you have preeminence in your life, that you have more control over your life than your soul and the enemy can have of your flesh. Then it means to say then that you'll be able to have the victory. In one place, the greater is he in your heart than he that is in your flesh. There's a law of sin in your flesh that you'll have till the resurrection, when the tragedy of evil is present with you. But it's the law of the spirit of life in your heart. And Paul said, I delight after that law in the inward man. Amen. So you know, you look there and you see people and you want to know why they profess to believe. In one place, he says, in a veil of belief, there he's watching the condition again. He said, come to find out, why are people so tossed about? He said, because they don't have the rest. Then he went on, and there was a prophet. And by the revelation of the word, was bringing a spiritual discernment of the body. Because he had discernment to discern the body of the Lord. And in one place, that way back then, not now, way back, years ago, he said, when I look, the sickest body on the earth, plagued with all kind of spiritual venereal disease, was the body of Christ. But God sent healing balm, oil and wine, amen, and from that body that was beaten and rubbed and lay aside, that God could come and bring a restoration. See? So then we are here in the hour when we all desire to see every member of the body is going to be there by faith because of what is predestined in his word. But because of a responsibility and because of a sacred charge to answer for our local assembly. You see? And because of what you see coming upon the face of the earth and moving in rapidly, then you also like to see every member who professes to be a true member, who professes to be loyal to the faith, who professes to have made a clean-cut decision to follow Jesus Christ. You don't question them when they say that. You believe them when they say that. See? They will show their own colors for themselves. They will prove who they are by the life they live. You don't have to judge them. The hour is here when every spirit is being manifested. You don't have to point your finger at people no more. When the hour, either you have it or you don't have it. Either you're in it or you're not in it. See, it's come to that time. So when you look then, you want to see that young people, you want to see believers, you want to see like interested in the message. Maybe in Trinidad mostly, and a lot of the outside countries, you find it. The multitude of people in the message is more young people. It's not so much old people. You find a lot of the old people is just few there, and the others have died out because the people who are wrong the message. You see, many of them there, they're young and they're aged and they're coming up there. And at that age, physically, it has so much things that is important to them in life other than the Word of God. See? And the type of system they grew up under. And we understand the generation, just one generation of our parents was in such religious darkness. You see? And then we come into this message. Then you find there's always that problem being plagued here. But it is the very thing but to identify the Word as it was in Israel Noah. As it was in Israel Balaam. When God never did forgive those things. And the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, these are things that is such a heavy pull upon young people if they don't have a real experience of God. All these other ambitions in life and all these things and in the type of age, you see that they're living in, it is in its height. Yeah. Satan Eden is in its height. Yeah. See, the sinfulness of the age, the evil age. When the demons from hell are being loose, they come upon the face of the earth to deceive, and hell itself is being created here. See, and this is where you're looking to see those who are genuinely born. Those who have had a genuine experience. Those who have actually made a total separation from unbelief. Those who are really convinced in their heart. And when you really search it out, many of them they believe from a mental standpoint. And they're there and they may be not convinced maybe to an extent that it is as late as it really is. We sing the song tonight. It's later than you think. But then, you know, it depends on what you think. You see? Now if your mind is haywire, you're not thinking, you have the mind of Christ, and not thinking according to the Scripture, then to you, if you have the wrong conception of what you're looking for, then to you, you may think, well, when the world said the world is going insane, you know, it may actually be everybody eating out of the rubbish pan and all kinds of different things. Everybody, you know, maybe lying down in the road and nobody sleeping in the bed no more. And that's not what God is talking about. The insanity is they're in such a condition and light is coming. And to show them the condition that they're in. And they can't recognize it. They know it not. See, you will see a great increase in the natural sense after every revival. The ancient institutions that, and the asylum is filled up with mental people. Also, it's a neurotic age because for about 4,000 years, coming down, man have been in the horse and buggy for transportation. After the last 75 years, they went from horse and buggy to astronaut. So the whole world has to change in a matter of years where it comes like, now you take somebody who normally been a denomination for a few years. And then they bring them to the message. And then that prophet come, he had to bring birth pains to get the church to come from one place to another. And they be in a little church for a couple hundred years. And he tries to bring on a new truth and go out to rock them and shake them with birth pains. Then you think of people and trying to adjust after 4,000 years. Because the flood, before the flood, had an advanced civilization with an atomic power and all these things that caused the flood. See? But after that, see, when God destroyed that civilization, they came back over, then they started right back up, and the fastest maybe they had was a chariot. What the Egyptians had when they went to war, who were the leader of a nation in military power back in that time. But when you watch within the weapons of warfare and the type of transportation, and you watch what it is today, and it has just come so within a few years. When the First World War, they said a poison gas almost blew up the whole earth. With all the chlorine and mustard gas, and all the trees had no bark, all the things finish, and all kind of different things back there. And then from down to the Second World War, they had the bomb. And that will happen in Hiroshima and those places. But then look after World War II, before the Armageddon, look where it reached to. Look what the civilization is coming to. And with the increase of science and all perversion, we actually see what took place. Because right after World War II, the revival started too, the healing revival. That will bring up all the false anointed ones. See, it's when science begins to increase. It's when the people begin to go into immorality and undress. And when Hollywood begins to rise and Los Angeles begins to produce all these filth with invention and television and these things sent around the world. And then you find the people begin to go into a state that they fail to realize what was causing it. They, up to today, they haven't realized what is causing it yet. And a prophet stood there all those years trying to show them what is responsible for those things. What is bringing the insanity? How radio and television, how Hollywood was actually taking away the morals of the woman very subtly. How immorality became fashionable. How insanity creeped up upon the people. How the greatest lie that ever struck the face of the earth since creation and the greatest vindication any message ever had was in this generation. And yet, it's one in a million. So then we know everybody. Many times we preach in a big general and we put everybody inside it. And everybody who are put on a good understanding and explain a lot of things, we say, they sound like David because look what they know. But then we get to find out those who really face the challenge of the hour. Those who really have them kings under their feet. You see? And then you're going to find out that it's really one in a million. How much is really forming the image of Jesus Christ that when God looks at them, he's actually seen his own self. His own little life. They're empty out. That God can say, there is a man, there is a woman who paid the price. I'll preeminence inside of them. I feel no different than when I walk in my own corporate body on you. No, that would have to come too. Let us not fool ourselves. Let us not, because I'm not wanting to die, I'm not being convinced, change the price. Let us not try to buy cheaper. Let us not try to drop God's standard and try to put up something to suit ourselves, to qualify ourselves, when our life is failing to match God's word. God leave us to be honest and make them be too guilty of cheating. God leave it to you to be honest to judge your own self that you will not be judged. And instead of you judge yourself righteously by the word and check yourself and think in the faith, you think more highly of yourself than you don't think of yourself. And when you think you're standing, take heed that you fall. You see? So when it comes to that place, then we recognize, look what is happening, look what is taking place. So we see those things then, it brings a concern. And they see that God himself had cared for us. See? And that to me, you know, is something so tremendous, because if God cared for us to send a message, see? And send a pillar of fire to vindicate the message. And give us a token for consolation, for peace. In the midst of all this storm and trouble, perplexity, men hearts filled with fear, distress of nations, wars and rumors of war, you can have peace. So they abide in the secret place of the Most High under the shadow of the Almighty. See? And when you recognize that the message came for preparation, but how many have been prepared? Isn't maybe something to show you how to prepare for great translation faith? The message came for preparation. Amen. It was a warning before judgment. Amen. That's what the message was. Because a prophet is a sign of coming judgment. But we had just know it as truths. But I never brought the conviction upon us to shake ourselves and empty out and get right. So when it's almost past healing time, and you see the real shaking come, you see before it's a confidence, you see a fear. Before you see a love and expectation, you see a wonder. You see? And only because people have failed to carry out all that the Word required of them. See? So here now, right now, we find ourselves in the midst of a big shaking. A great spiritual shaking. As I told you last night, a lot of people feeling the pull of the hour. But they're feeling the pull of the hour, but they're not recognizing. See? But that pull has to be there. That pull in the world and this thing have to be there. Amen. Because the Spirit of God is moving off now. Amen. That would have stayed all right until he had let it be left. When the time comes and the Spirit of God begins to draw back because the world has rejected the message, had a chance going to get individuals and God got the ones he wanted. A prophet standing in the Spirit that we have been in the time of the investigative judgment. Later on we're going to pick up that. When the investigative judgment ends and the judgment begins. Because during the time of the investigative judgment when he comes down and take the book and open the seals, that section of it, to get the Father's spiritual genes. To find those, see, who would believe every word. Amen. Who knows that that is the price it would take to go back to Eden. Amen. Because one word is what caused every chaos. Amen. And there's no way to get back out without becoming all the word. Amen. Some people get so deceived, they say, well, I realize I can't measure up to that because it's not the worldly taste. They say, I try to live a good life. Because they find some quote in the Bible say, live a good life. The only good life is Jesus Christ. Don't call no one good but God. Master, good master, why call us all me good? I'm no good one but God. Amen. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. So here it is, in this hour, when the Holy Spirit, remembering His promise, I will return. Amen. According to the time of life. A visitation for fulfillment. When this word passes on unknown language is going to make a cycle. And many hear about the cycle. Many have seen the cycle identified. Many know it was on. Many believe it. But many came out of it and the cycle went cycling along. And by all these things being produced, still prove that the cycle is still cycling. Because it's more and more unfolding as you keep walking. Never stop. I will never stop because God is walking. See? But a lot of people are deceived with denominational glasses. See? A lot of people are deceived picking up wrong spirits. And the realm of demon possession in the message for years is now being uncovered. Listen what I'm saying. The realm of demon possession in the message for all these years is now being uncovered. Because when you pick up that scripture, that prophecy, I know it is not. That was a direct prophecy that God put in the Bible to show the insanity of the world. To show the age that it is going to come in. He didn't put anointed not in none of the other ages except the last one. That's when the blackness comes. That's when the great blackout comes just before dawn. Just before daybreak. That's when they're going to form a godliness but deny the power. And they come right in the message of a form of godliness which will be like Jesus. and deny that the power is present. And in 1963, in perfect faith, he said the Holy Ghost is here with the power. All you need is faith to move it. And how come the power is yet not delivered? So the pillar of fire in the service for healing, for deliverance, for salvation, to reveal truth, whatever it is. And nobody have faith to pull it by them. A spirit of education got a hold of the word and begin to school people into things. But you can't school the Holy Ghost in people. A spirit of entertainment and a spirit of love to be entertained got a hold of the message. So it produced stars. It produced heroes and personalities that people love to hear and be around. And everything become a big concept. Everything become something on a stage. It got a hold of Pentecost. Got the prophets and said all these Hollywood preachers. And then the prophets are calling. You get a politician, you get some singer, you get some philosopher or somebody to pick up a hold of the message. How are you going to tell the difference? That the genuine Holy Spirit. You get some lecturer or somebody. How are you going to tell the difference? You better be able to know how the word is come word by word by word. Because the people of the largest following today is entertainers. Yes! This is the age of idolatry. People want heroes to worship. They want personality to establish in the heart. It's a bunch of Corinthians. That's why it babies and all kind of morality, all kind of different things. And they never really get up to the real spiritual level. They never really get to a place of real godly conviction. See? And they get a bunch of wandering stars like the Hebrews, wandering all through the wilderness, wandering in circles, and then going nowhere. And Paul the ICLS. You see the time running out. And you see the time clock striking the hour. And there's a promise left you of entering the God's rest. And you ain't coming short, you're a million miles away from it. The spiritual labor, the press to anything, have left you. Amen. The years when it should really press. When the word is really being made plain. When God is really on the scene. When the enemy is really being identified. When the power of deliverance could really work. That's the time people losing everything. But what was back there was a hangover of that denominational spirit that had them working hard for years and it proved to be unfruitful. Amen. 4 or 5 nights, one of them going in the woods and fast. No, not pray whole night, all kind of different things. And it produced nothing. And when the word comes for them to really pray and really get desperate, they're wondering whether it's right or whether it's wrong. Is that they're getting blind and no discernment no more. It's getting to a realm now. The devil has started the strategy of the people in the message. With the message. So he can come in and fit in the crowd and come just like he belongs to the message too. Because he know what the message people love. How they operate. What they like. What you have to do. All the key words. Thunders and seals and cloud and all these things. See, all the things to make it sound spiritual. See, and they get carried away. And when I look at that Ephesians, under the statue of a perfect man, A perfect church without spot, without wrinkle. Try the apostles. Them who say they're apostles. Head the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Something on the backbone that said wrong.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Pray, don't lose friendship.
Amen.
Amen. That is cheap friendship for that kind of price. Amen. Amen. Half of the time those friendships have motives, ulterior motives behind it. For self gain. See, and this has been the kind of thing that have prevailed. But there is to be a perfect church. There is to be a perfect ministry. There is to be a perfect man. There is to be an Ephesians at the end of the ages. There is to be a people with the whole armor of God standing against the wiles of the devil in this evil day. Quenching the fiery darts. A church that is anointed and commissioned. Call out and wash. Hallelujah. That God is dwelling amongst them. You can walk in the front of the back door. Hallelujah. Look across the congregation and see the power of God moving in the place. Rather what you find. People falling away, this one falling away. This one had a beg, this one to come serve. This one had a pastor, this one to drop out, otherwise they can't come. See? 9 years after they can't do ABCs yet. But no mysteries. All they put is a puff of spirit. And when the word comes to correct it, it's too big to carry the correction. See? So then we come to a place now. And the Holy Spirit begins to uncover. And not being uncover, all these years, what happened? What went on? Why God allows certain spirits to prevail? How God sent angels to take out those some from among the bride in the framework of the message who was not his. See? And you're sitting there wondering, yes, why is it going to prosper? But by and by, you really understand it better. See? Because you see where it comes. It was a similar purpose. Those things had a taste. I had people laying there with a taste in their soul for those things. And the true word will never be able to get to them because they never had a taste of the real true word. And that taste was to connect with that. But Abraham says sin does connect with sin and lies does connect with lies. And sin is so hypocritical that it thinks it's saved when it's not even saved. The thinking have not been filtered. The message was to filter your thinking, bring it out to the world your worldly taste. The denominational taste. To filter that out to you. To give you a holy man taste. To let you recognize that out of the mouth of God proceeded a word for this age. And there was a promise. There was something the Holy Spirit wanted to bring the past of that age. This age here. And that was to be your desire. That was to be your intense longing. That was to be your fellowship. That was to be your obsession. But a lot of people come into the message and they get distracted over that. Amen. They didn't even keep their eyes long enough to catch a good glimpse of it, to recognize it, to be able to hold it. That even though they get shaken off, they can get tuned back in. Amen. But the mind was so fickle and can so be easily influenced that with time they get distracted, they never even get a vision of the original, and then they begin to get all kinds of different things until they get disillusioned. So some of the very same original thing is presented right there before them and they scare it. And when it's given to the place, people scare the prophet message, something wrong. And it's coming to that place almost. You tell them the prophet said they don't want to know that. Because they're not even reading the books no more, hearing the text no more. They have other voices. He said will come to confuse their mind from the spiritual voice, the voice of the last days. They get trained to church voices.
Amen.
Political voices. Entertainment voices.
Amen.
And when the voice that was speaking there is still speaking, continuing the same line of the world, when the very same God that is coming on, picking up the very part of the word, the very junction, the very beat, the very place where he stopped everything. People wondering. And then what he said, people being fed with all kinds of things, and they're so gullible for it. Amen. And right away they know that spirit have already been perverted. That mind have already been muddied up. And they not know all to spend all the time trying to sort out yourself. See, a lot of people do well. Maybe I'll go in a place and say, why do you repent and come back to the Word? Yeah. Hallelujah. You can't go and figure out yourself and sort out yourself. Yeah. Because you can't save yourself. That was only to show you, you're walking after your own understanding, leaning on your own understanding all along. Yeah. See? Well, you need your mind of Christ. Yeah. Amen. I mean, not man's ideas, God's intelligence. And wisdom versus faith. Wisdom is man's idea. Faith is God's intelligence, divine revelation that comes to you, give you power. Amen. Display Jesus Christ. Amen. Follow me the scripture. Let's go to. Let me get the message before I hold you whole week trying to preach one message. I want to pick up 1 Kings like last night. So I'm going to try to hit the high places. I've been studying the whole day just how to present this message in a way that I can finish it in one night. Because the inspiration is really Revelation 15 and 16. But 14 to 19 rather. But mainly 15 and 16 is the outpouring of the seven last vials. Revelation 6 that we took just now, which was the end of the Roman power, where they was coming down there, going down to hell followed them, and then the other scripture we read there in Revelation 19 was where it's destroyed in the battle of Armageddon. So I want to pick up here 1 Kings 21, reading from verse 17, which is the type we're going back to now, to make this symbol a little plain that we can fellowship and see what we're looking into. So I hope you understand that we're continuing tonight the coming judgment of Ahab and Jezebel. Verse 17, Sunday, yesterday we picked up how Ahab wanted Naboth's vineyard and he wouldn't give it to him as inheritance of his fathers. He still wanted the man inheritance of his fathers. Then Jezebel decides to set up a plot. She sent the elders and the nobles in the city. She framed him and everything, got him killed, and then took possession of the vineyard. At the same time, God spoke to Elijah here, verse 17. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah, the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, who is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, where he is gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? Thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where the dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. Now that's the prophecy on Ahab right here. Judgment upon Ahab. We're going to be fulfilled another season. And Ahab said, Elijah, hast thou found me, O my enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and will take away thy posterity, and will cut them off from Ahab every male. And him who is shut up and left in Israel, and will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the provocation with which God provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. Also, God was putting judgment here through the very same message of Elijah on Jezebel too. And of Jezebel also spoke the Lord, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that died of Ahab, in the city the dog shall eat, and him that died in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. Okay? So we pick up this right here where we see Revelation 19, the fowls and the dogs was eating them back there. It's the very same thing back here. But there was none like unto Ahab, who did sell himself to wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stood up. Let's turn to 2 Kings. Chapter 9. I want to pick up here where God is actually bringing to pass Elijah's prophecy now. And I want you to observe some very important things here as we watch Jezebel a little bit, which is the Roman Catholic system. And Elisha the prophet called one of the children of the prophets and said unto him, gird up thy loins and take this flask of oil in thy hand and go to Ramoth Gilead. And when thou comest thither, find Jehu the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in and make him arise up from among his brethren and take him to an inner chamber. And when the flask of oil, identical flask of oil, and pour it on his head and say, thus said the Lord, I have anointed the king over Israel. Then open the door and flee and tarry not. So the young man, even the young man, the prophet, went to Ramoth Gilead. And when he came, behold, the captains of the host were sitting, and he said, I have an errand to thee, O captain. And Jehu said, unto which of all us? And he said, to thee, O captain. And he arose and went into the house, and he poured the oil on his head, and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I have anointed thee king over the people of the Lord, even over Israel. Notice it was Elisha who was called one of the children of the prophets to do this. That was after Elijah had already gone up. Amen? I want you to note that the ministry of Elijah was finished. He was taken off the scene. It was in time of Elijah here when he was going off the scene too. And this was going out for that to be fulfilled. And thou shalt say, smite the house of Ahab thy master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. Now right in there, God in a little shadow is picking up and showing us the Roman Catholic system that will be avenged for the blood of the martyrs and the saints of Jesus. You getting that? Alright. Because she was the one who stood up Ahab. He was only the figurehead. She was the evil spirit behind him. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish, and I will cut off from Ahab every male born and free in Israel, and I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah. And the dogs shall eat Jezebel in the portion of Jezreel, and there shall be none to bury. And he opened the door and fled. Now watch what's going to come out here. All this is to prove something to you. As I tell you, I always had an understanding that those seven vials in Revelation 16 was Moses and Elijah. But the prophet never said that. I look it back and forth. In no place I could find that he ever connected those seven vials to Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah is connected to the trumpets. The trumpets was for Israel. The seals was for the church. You understand that? But you see, there is plagues. There is many plagues in the Bible. Revelation 22 says, any man who added this book, all the plagues in this book would be added to him. There's plagues all through this Bible. Because after every messenger preached and the church rejected the message, a plague fell. But that plague what fell with the spiritual death had nothing to do with the seven last vials in it. But that's a plague falling. But I'm going to prove to you tonight from here, from the scriptures. And we're going to pick up the type here, because we take the symbol in the book of Revelation. Holy place, just let me see this. We pick up the symbol here in the book of Revelation on the fourth seal, where all the powers, religion, politics, and demon powers is gathered together. In the pale horse. Alright. And they all are, which is Protestants, Catholics, everybody, they're all gathered here together, and they're coming down to Armageddon for the final battle. Revelation 19 shows the final battle, the battle at Armageddon. And I want you to note very carefully, the battle at Armageddon is not in the time of Moses and Elijah. It's after the days of Moses and Elijah. So if you have little closed doors inside a deer that Moses and Elijah go up and the millennium start, just open them doors. If you had a narrow space, just pull it back and give a little room there in your mind. Alright? Because here we find the battle at Armageddon. It is a space of time. And all these things from Revelation 14 to Revelation 19 I'm going to show you is outside the Jewish age. And I said, you just sit down there and follow me in the scriptures and forget the thoughts you have for now. Alright? After you finish preach a little while, maybe next week we have a little question, after you have all the questions you want. But I say, when I refer to the quotes and the messages, don't bypass them, keep your conception. Because I preach it according to the message. So verse 10, chapter 9, 2 Kings. And the dog shall eat Jezebel. Where? In the portion of Jezreel. That place is being identified right here. Now that portion of Jezreel is actually the very vicinity, the very place where the battle of Armageddon is going to be fought, and Jezebel will be eaten by the dogs and the fowls. You know.
Amen.
That is factual. The place that they call Megiddo, which is the battle of Armageddon, is just the portion of Jezreel right here, where Jezebel is actually fed to the dogs and the fowls of the earth to fulfill Elijah's prophecy. After Elijah prophesied and left. Look how this is in the scriptures here. Verse 30. And when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it. And she painted her face and attired her head and looked out through her window. And as Jehu entered into the gate, she said, "Had Zimri peace, who slew his master?" And he lifted up his face to the window and said, "Who is on my side? Who?" And they looked out at him, two or three eunuchs. And he said, "Throw her down." So they threw her down. And some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he trod her underfoot. And when he was coming, he did eat and drink and said, "Go see now this cursed woman and bury her, for she's a king's daughter." And they went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hand. Wherefore they came again and told him. And he said, "This is the word of the Lord, which was spoken by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, in the portion of Jezreel shall the dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel." Because Elijah spoke of the place and specified where that was going to take place. Now, yesterday I was taken where Ahab went into the battle, which you're going to pick up later on, because I don't want to go into it right there as yet, and show that Ahab and they going to the battle was deceived by the lying prophets of Zedekiah and his whole school of prophets.
Yeah.
When a lying spirit came out of hell in that season, them demons was loosed to come upon them to prophesy a lie. To deceive them and take them to the battle to be destroyed, where the fowls in the air and them was going to feed upon them.
Amen.
That was a type God was showing back there to fulfill Elijah's prophecy. So what we're doing, we're trying to pick up here all these symbols in Revelation and place them correctly. But in order to understand them, we must go back to the Old Testament, where those symbols is foreshadowed.
Amen.
Because all those symbols in Revelation, the New Testament, is really an antitype to something in the Old Testament.
Amen.
Because we find out under the fourth seal, when the three powers came together and they were gathered together to go down to Armageddon, the fourth beast that went out was an eagle.
Amen.
And that eagle was a prophet.
Amen.
Is that correct?
Amen.
And that prophet had to come with a message to pull the people out, that they will not be deceived and take the mark of the beast. His message was come out of her, my people, and be not partake of her plagues. Her plagues, the Bible said, will come in one day. More than Elijah will smite the earth with plagues for 3.5 years. That's two different things. Because remember, it's Rome that killed Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah didn't overcome them. They overcome Moses and Elijah. And they made merry and sent gifts one to another, which the only nation to do that is Rome after they win a battle.
Amen.
All right. So in 1 Kings 21 and 2 Kings 9, we see in Jezebel, that evil one behind Ahab, which was only a shadow of something that's going to happen in the last days. And God was revealing this very woman, the spirit of this system that she represented, that will actually move in behind kings.
Amen.
Yeah.
See? Will get into the political realm and control things from behind the scenes.
Amen.
God was showing that back then at type. Showing the nature of the woman. We're going to pick up a little later on. So then also, Jezebel is a type of the Roman Catholic Church. Not just in the Old Testament. Because when it comes in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit in the Tartuan age called her that woman Jezebel. Is that correct? Revelation 2, 20-23. He said, and I will kill God. Say, I give her a space to repent to see what she's doing.
Amen.
They don't, because the church age before Tartuos was what? Pergamos. Which was married. The church married the state with Constantine and them when pagan became papal Rome. Alright. That's where they had it. Then she was taking full control of everything and killing out all them Christians. Like Jezebel, when she came in and married the Ahab, she said, I killed all God people.
Amen.
All God prophets. And God saw what she was doing, and then she began to set up a shrine and lead people into idolatry.
Amen.
And that's why in that dark age, Rome almost dominated the scene for 1,000 years, almost.
Amen.
And there's hardly any light. The church went in the ground and died. No, when they pick, whatever they pick up, the seal, the trumpet, the vial, the channels, whatever they pick up, it will all come back to two things, God and Satan.
Amen.
Because only two spirits from up in heaven go right down to the end.
Amen.
One will be like a fire, and one kingdom will be established on the earth.
Amen.
Okay, so I'll tell you the seal, the church ages, Satan they're moving, and the seal that was put into the church ages, Satan moving the realm of deception, religious deception. In the trumpets, the same devil was killing the people of political power. Because trumpets is political disturbance.
Amen.
Over in the realm of the bars, it's the same devil tormenting the very people.
Amen.
When the world is going to insanity in the last days. When hell itself is here.
Amen.
Now watch. So, here then, we see in the time that God was showing that woman Jezebel, and shown her evil works, in the last days, how it was going to be. Because Jezebel really began to do those things when Elijah was in the land.
Yeah.
And all of that was a type for the last days. But many times, we are only applied in the spiritual form, which is to the Gentiles before the rapture. We see one like Elijah, come back with the spirit of Elijah. There's a Jezebel again. There's an Ahab on the throne here and all these things. But I want you to see from the scriptures tonight, and I'll show you in the word, that didn't apply to the Gentiles alone. That type back there was also for the Jews in the last 3.5 years.
Amen.
I'll show you two prophets taught that. Paul taught that.
Yeah.
And Brother Branham taught that. And if two prophets thought that is good enough for me.
Yeah.
Because Paul says, when Elijah was crying out, when he's proving that Israel will have a restoration in Romans, you were telling Romans, he said, well, you think you all, you bunch of Gentiles come and think you all is something, and you're dunging on the Jews? He said, let me tell you, you're only blinded. They're only blinded so you can come in.
Yeah.
He said, they're blinding. Bring, give you sight to come and get salvation. How much will the restoration?
Amen.
Is that in front of your wild olive branch grafted in? Did Paul teach that?
Amen.
And Israel blind will be in part until the time of the Gentiles?
Amen.
And to prove that there will be a remnant according to the election of grace? Is that when Elijah thought he was the only one? It had 7,000 in bowed on the knee? And you're showing that that's a type of the remnant in the last days for the Jews.
Amen.
Is that correct? So Paul was showing that very scripture with Elijah and the 7,000 that bowed on the knee with a type of the 144,000 will come back when Elijah come back. And when Elijah come back, will he stop the heavens again?
Yeah.
For how long? 3.5 years. How many days is that? 1,203 score days. In the days of the prophets, he's going to shut the heavens. And who did rule in Israel at that time? Rome! Amen. There's been a covenant with Roman power! Amen. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
But then when Elijah shut the heaven, I didn't get ahead of myself already. When Elijah shut the heaven, and famine struck the land, and Elijah called on fire and burned up the soldiers, all the military troops.
Amen.
Is that correct?
Amen.
And he challenged Jezebel from the sun, cut the head off.
True.
And he fell back to worship.
Amen.
All of that he did during that 3.5 years.
That's right.
True, brother. Amen. And famine, death, mourning struck the land, all them places in the land. And yet, it wasn't the time when Jezebel was killed.
Amen.
Jezebel was killed after that prophecy.
Amen.
7,000 are called up by the true message of the remnant. Scripture to you that the destruction of the Roman Catholic system of all these things that take place, which pertains to those vials, is not the ministry of Moses and Elijah. Lastly, I throw something out for you, and I hope you caught it. John kept on saying that angel who came and talked to me was one of the seven angels who had those seven vials. Show me the great harlot. Show me the lamb's wife. Measure the city, and that the angel about them to worship. No, who's that angel? That angel. No, remember John never saw the church's angels. He saw a sign in Jesus' hand. He never saw the seventh angel. He saw Christ come from heaven, and the voice of him, don't write it, and then the voice of the seventh angel, when he saw him, it should be finished. Then the next angel saw the trumpet angels. And those heavenly angels. But when he saw the angels with the vials, they wasn't heavenly angels. Because that angel was a prophet, was a man who was talking to John. Alright, that man's in the bride. So that's why I'm passing all this way. For me to go here, God just give me this here. To pass it this way, to place everything first way, when you see the tie back there, when we talk about the things in Revelation, you could relate to it. Because we begin to speak in Revelation, all in symbols, and you don't know what the types is, you get confused. So I'm picking up the types for you back there, with the days of Elijah, when Jezebel will be destroyed, and she'll destroy the battle of Armageddon.
Amen.
When the fowls of the air will eat them down, they come to the supper. I told you, supper is in the evening time. Ahab died in the evening time.
Amen.
The dogs eat Ahab's flesh in the evening time.
Amen.
So watch when those things are happening. So he said, if that's so, where are we going to come in? Well, just let's wait and see.
Amen.
Let us wait and see. We're going to open up and see. Where are we going to come in there, and those things will report upon the face of the earth. All you know, you're coming on a white horse, but you know we're doing yet. Before you go in the millennium, you're going to be fighting. That's what you're going to be doing.
Amen.
A sharp two-edged sword will come out of your mouth, which is his mouth.
Amen.
Wait until those 7,000 out of the voice of that little group.
Amen.
It, you're going up with that, you know.
Amen.
And if you go up with it, you're going to come back with it.
Amen.
Exactly. So what is wrong if God is showing you what's going to happen to have, what you have to fulfill later on? It's not five, it's been a couple of years. All these things have already been in process of fulfillment.
Amen.
So we're trying to follow these symbols here. And the fourth seal. God just showed a little symbol, two verses. As the prophecy about those two verses, it'll tie the whole Bible together. And then Revelation 19, where they come down there. But we're picking it up here in 1 Kings, with Ahab and Jezebel, when there was a union. And that union was not because of religion, it was because of politics.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a unequal yoke. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Unequal yoke. She's a pagan.
Amen.
See, but she wove her way in. And then she began to control even Ahab and the whole nation and bewitch them with her sorceries. Let me give you a little quote here. Flashing red light. Page 31. And that modern Jezebel had switched and bewitched the people under the witchcraft of her power until the whole nation was corrupted, and Elijah stood alone out in the mountain. And God said, Elijah, don't think that I got 7,000 donkeys on in heart yet. That's the second pole. And the third one went back for them.
Amen.
There was no more beast after the four beasts, you know. They were all as prophets. Under the other seals of the camp was prophets. So there was no more beast to announce anything. And those the very same power displayed by the prophet over here on the next side, they display the very same power. And that very same power is to be here also before we go up.
Amen.
That's why I don't see no way a person could say that, well, I believe the message and you're going to make it. You can become the word or you don't make it.
Amen.
And the only way it could be the word is if it was a thought.
Amen.
Because only a thought can become the word.
Amen.
So then what a consolation it is. If you want his thought, you want his genes and his thinking, which is his mind, the very book of life. And they see your name written there under one of those seals.
Amen.
You recognize the part of the world you are for the age you're living in.
Amen.
What a consolation that would be for you.
Amen.
You would no longer be a wandering star. It is real in your heart.
Amen.
You have a place where your soul could anchor. Amen. So notice here, 2 Kings 9, what we pick up there with her destruction when she went Jehu went to Jezreel, foreshows, God was foreshowing the destruction of the Jezebel in the last days. Because remember that you hear time, it's foreshowing something. And God was foreshowing how she will come to her end. That's the first thing. The beast was going to eat her. The second thing, God was showing the time that she will come to her end. It was long after the ministry of Elijah had finished and gone. Elijah prophesied. Went off the scene. See, and here it has been fulfilled afterwards. And then God is also showing the place where she'll come to destruction. So you show, right in the time, you show how she'll come to destruction. So when it comes to the New Testament, watch the Holy Spirit. What the accuracy of the Holy Spirit. Coming back to divide the word and show that when those things are taking place, that you will not be confused whether those things are happening here or those things are happening here. Because if a person don't have the knowledge of the truth, then you can always believe a lie. You can all believe something that's some good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the message had to be completed out.
Yeah.
The message had to be finished off. Because the book was written for us. And that's what I was saying earlier before we started to preach. I was saying that you young people, many of you, when you see that this whole Bible is being fulfilled right before your eyes, and all these things are going on, and these things what you have in your mind is somewhere quite down the road, and like you go to heaven and dream old somewhere and they come back, all these things are already going on now on the earth, you know. Because those fowls in the air, which is demon spirits, like back there when the sun was setting in Genesis 15, the sun was going down, and the going on the sun, Abraham had a sacrifice out.
Yeah.
showing the spiritual seed of Abraham in the last days, cast out devils, and the fowls are ready to come.
Amen.
Now watch. Those fowls in there, we saw the seed to come up again. From the time we see flying the sky, you know something, the life of left it below. He will call the fowls in the air from the midst of heaven, or mid heaven. It's Satan who controls mid heaven. Read Peter home and see all those demons, the prince of the power of the air, all them devils in the atmosphere. It's demon spirits that come upon those churches after the life of left it and feed upon them. They're going to come to a physical destruction also in the battle of Armageddon. But when the life have left it, the fowls of the air begin to get attracted. So while the life was in, they don't get attracted to. But from the time the life leave it, they will smell it when it gets, begin to get rotten. When it contaminate, that's how the vultures find the food. You want a holy life, sanctified, godly, holy life. The little voice is the tongue of God. It will always shake the devil. From the time what that life begin to go a certain way, and what is the vultures begin to come around it and feed upon it, because God is the one, is that angel is the one who is in the Son, which is Jesus Christ, is the one that is summoning those spirits to feed upon them. And let me tell you, those things, Christ, make sure God is healed. He says, after the revival had died on and everything they organized, you know what happened? Fallen angels got into it. Because they didn't keep the first estate. And the angels who sinned and didn't keep the first estate was cast down to hell. And today hell is created on the earth. The world opened up like with Dayton and Coran them. The prophet says they failed to go on with the world. And what happened? The earth opened and swallowed them. He said, that's the world. The world swallows them up. People going along, religious, in the message. And that's the conception they have in their mind. I believe Brother Branham. Well, the world swallowed up those people coming in the Exodus.
Amen.
Those fowls of the air come and feed upon those spirits when they cross the line.
Amen.
When they become willfully disobedient to the truth. God told Cain, sin lies at the door, which meant the next time you do it, and God has to tell you, you'll be willfully disobedient because He's warning you before you do it again. He's telling you there's space to repent. He's zealous, and repent in that space given unto you. And then the fowls of the air begin to come and feed upon them. I pick it up just now in the 14. I read it for you here the other day, right here. He said, reject the word, and that makes the way for the devil to become incarnate. While have life there, while they're still under the blood there, you see, in the sense of the blood covering the whole earth, not in the Lamb's book of life, for the promises and the redemptive blessings. You see, but the thing is that if it had no blood, the wrath of God would be on the whole earth. That is where, when the bride is taken off, and that sea of glass that is picked up there, it mingled with fire. Then the bride is taken up, now judgment will start. See? But what's something? When you actually look and see what is actually taking place, and you watch there, I'm trying to tell you, by these messages and these things being preached, you look, what do you see?
Amen.
What is your answer for when things not meeting the word and missing the mark in this hour?
Amen.
If God is building masterpiece, even in the natural realm, and the religious realm, and the political realm, things are so advanced, and the bride, where she's supposed to be meeting the challenge of the hour also and hitting her mark also.
Amen.
Then what is the conclusion? that don't think in that condition. I don't want to have no free thinking. I just got the word. See? Now watch. So here it was. Let me pick up another scripture here for you. First, Revelation 11. Not Revelation 11, rather, sorry, Romans 11. Romans 11. See, a lot of people, they're wondering. And they think, well, maybe all these things is far advanced. That time down is a destruction of everything. The righteous walk on the ashes of the wicked. But here, devil is already feasting upon them already. You are confronted with the leadership of eternal life. You have to go on with the life. And when you see that life, proving it is the life by opening up the path of the world, there was a coming continuity to the prophet going. Before the resurrection take place, had a little part there for the bride. Amen. When should you unveil a given master? Because you see all these things taking place. The oil of the bride will be glorified. When the oil is opened and placed in the air. So understanding the mind of Christ could come in. Romans 11. Pick up a little more this scene with Elijah in the time of Ahab and Jezebel. Romans 11, Paul preaching here, he says, I say then, had God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God had not cast away his people whom he foreknew. He's asking the question, giving the answer right away. Because he's speaking some Romans, you see, with the Gentiles. Know you not that what the scripture said of Elijah? He's coming back to the type now and proving to them why he's saying God didn't cast them away. Amen. How we make an intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, they have dug down thine altars, and I am left alone and they seek my life. But what said the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000. See, he's asking the question, giving the answer, because he is arguing out a point that the Romans had in their mind, but let him know it's not so. I have reserved myself 7,000 who have not bowed down to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of work, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of work, then it is no more grace, otherwise work is no more work. Amen. Just to back up that a little bit. Let me, that one prophet, Paul said that. Let me pick up what the prophet says, you know, on the sixth seal. Now, how long did this man, page 42, Elijah closed the heavens for? 3.5 years. There you are exactly. How long is Daniel 70th? The last part of Daniel 70th week. Congregation cried, 3.5 years. There you are exactly. What did Moses do? He turned the water to blood. He done all kinds of miracles. Just exactly what predicted under this sixth seal. And here they are in Revelation 11 doing the same thing. Here they are in Revelation 11. Not 16, in Revelation 11 doing the same thing. Amen. There's three different places in the scripture. Right there, blending the thing together. That's the opening of the sixth seal. Right there it is. Glory. Now notice, these are Paul to shut the heavens. These are the prophets that it won't rain. And pour over the waters to turn into blood. To smite the earth with plagues as often as they will. Oh my, there you are. Now turn right over here to the plagues. All nature is interrupted in this sixth seal. When the sixth seal opened. That's exactly what happened. Now look, see? Here God is about to deliver his son. In the same manner of the tribulations that he did down there, he sent Moses down there and delivered Israel. Is that right? He's done the very same thing. He's showing you here's God in the time of Elijah, when Ahab and Jezebel was there, under the sixth seal. Elijah preached 3.5 years, shut the heaven 3.5 years, they'll preach 3.5 years. Here is Moses delivering them on the Egyptian hands. Here they come back in the same time when they're in Roman hands to deliver them again. All that's under the sixth seal. 3.5 years, Daniel 73. Notice now, he sent Elijah to Ahab. Get now, this is what I'm saying. He sent Elijah to Ahab, and 7,000 came out. Is that right? He sends them right back over here again in the time of the tribulation to call out the 140,000. Now you see, And then he goes and show between the 6th and 7th seal, Revelation 7, mathematically shut together, like the calling of Israel. So I want you to notice that. Here it is, Revelation chapter 11, Moses and Elijah, and Romans 11, where God was showing that type there with Elijah in the book of Kings was speaking about the Jews in the last half of the 70th week, when there is 7,000, which is a type of the 140,000, will not bow down to that covenant when that Roman power is moving in and corrupting the whole nation of Israel. Amen. Because when Moses and Elijah comes in there will be 144,000 who are going to come out and believe the message, and they'll be hunted down, because on the 5th seal he said, wait here until thy fellow servant and thy brethren is also killed.
Amen.
So they'll be hunted down and killed also.
Amen.
They'll have to die for it. Why? Because they come out to defy the beast and that power back there.
Amen.
And the very beast will kill Moses and Elijah. Revelation 11. Amen. Anyway, we're going fine. Let me give a little bit here now on Jezebel, 7 church ages, page 27. Now, this is the very first important thing we must learn about Jezebel, is that she's not the daughter of Abraham, nor is her induction into the tribes of Israel one of spiritual admission, as was that of Ruth the Moabitess. Now, in Israel, like Rahab and Ruth, all them, they come in, you know. God had a chance for them to come in. But when Jezebel come in a union with Israel, now you see the type right here? Rome is going to be in a colony with Israel. Also, the Roman Catholic system. When Elijah, the prophet, comes to Israel in the last 2.5 years, that woman Jezebel will be in a covenant, married in a union with the Jews. And it will be because of political reasons. And they're already winking the eye of one another. They're already watching one another bang back. And seeing both of us to come together. Because America has recognized the Vatican. And that's where Jews' money is in Wall Street. And they only come into a union because of the bankrupt. And it's time for Rome to come in here now. But I want you, don't get it mixed up. See it over in the last 3.5 years for the Jews. By the bride and marriage supper. See, the same thing is also over here in the spiritual form for the Gentiles, where they've been eaten now. Because they reject the blood. What shall we do with Jesus Christ? They reject the message and made a way for demon power to come in. That is why the whole thing went to Babylon. And the prophet said, that man sit down there with me. And saw all these things meeting after meeting, supposed to be a big teacher in the Holy Ghost, David Duplessis. And he went and sat with the Pope and came back and said, it was so spiritual. What was happening? Demon powers was already taking these men out. And when the Pope and the Jew, the whole thing black out. 1964, 3 months after, he got the turning rock of judgment and starting in the earth because mercy has been spoiled. The Pentecostal, like a Hebrew bride, hold on to the substitute. Natural lamb. And they reject the lamb Elijah introduced. The real lamb. And because of that, we're going to reject the blood there. He said, they think of the church to the state. Didn't they go to Pilate, the Roman power? And the government got involved? He said, then the whole nation got involved? Because the church couldn't kill them, so the state has to do the killing. You see? Now watch. Watch what's going to happen back there again. That's going to repeat again in those 3.5 years of the Jews, you know. All the things in the book of Kings. Because Ahab came to Elijah And say, you want to trouble at Israel.
Amen.
Because I have plagues in the land.
Amen.
Elijah slew the prophet, called on fire, bullet the military troops.
Amen.
See? Call of the elect. And on top of that, God dropped famine and drought and death. All those things struck the land. Was plagued. While Elijah was there in the land. While the Roman power was behind the Jewish government. And it was not the time for the destruction of Jezebel. She comes afterwards. So do you see where Revelation 18, all these things, with the bomb destroying the Vatican City, all these things, is outside the last half of the 70th week? Because the beast and the kings of the earth and the armies all go to Armageddon?
Amen.
Millions?
Yes,
sir. Amen. Because the Roman Catholic power is not broken at that time still. Now, if you can't take it, you have to look at the type and take it in the type.
Amen.
The type and the answer is plain.
Amen.
Paul taught that. And the prophet taught that.
Amen.
And here it's been revealed by the scriptures also.
Amen.
See? Her plagues didn't come yet. Jezebel's plagues came in one day in Jezreel. Elijah smote the land. You troubled the land of Israel. He smote the land.
Amen.
But Jezebel, hold, come in one day. Revelation 18:8. And her plague will come in one day.
Amen.
And right now, there's a big feast going on. Those fallen, those demon spirits have already come down. And that's why you see, the prophet said, he said, you see insanity going on the church pews. He said, the church people lose their spiritual faculty. You hear man, here was the insanity, was, you know, here was man screaming for revival and working against the laws of revival. He said, sure, darkness have taken over. And then the darkness pressing the people into sin. And heaven is coming, the web of fashion and these things. And they were right in the church talking about revival and follow the fashion, the worldly display. Right in their own lives. Showing they wasn't separated from all unbelief. They said, a worldly taste in the soul. And they're drawing through that worldly taste. A little religion to give them a form of godliness. But not enough to produce the power of God. Oh my! When them devils loose in the Euphrates River and the Holy Spirit come and show that Euphrates River was a natural river, Euphrates passed through Babylon.
Amen.
Babylon in the New Testament is mystery Babylon. It's a mystery river. And those demon spirits came out and darkened the sun. And when they were loose, the prophet said they were loose in the ecclesiastical realm now because the sun was blacked out and threw the moon into darkness. He said it was blocking up the sunlight from striking the moon. He said when the blackout comes, just before daybreak. You see what's happening? And people are delivered in chains of darkness. They didn't keep the first estate delivered by the angel of the age. The messenger brought the real word. That was the estate. And they didn't keep the first estate, and the angels who was really carrying the message sinned. And they were cast down into hell, created on the earth, and the world fall up, reserve unto judgment. Let me tell you this. A lot of people say, well, I'm dead yet, physically. You just have a chance. You have no chance to cross the line.
Amen.
You can live for 1,000 years, you have no chance.
Amen.
One spiritual death strike that soul, and the second death hit you already. You have no chance.
Amen.
And if eternal life is in that soul, then you'll be displaying the word for the hour. You'll be bringing forth that revelation. You'll have the evidence. Your body shall be changed. You have the earnest. You're going in the rapture.
Yeah.
Your body has already turned heavenly. Yeah. You'll be fully in obedience to the revealed word.
Yeah. Amen.
If the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead burns, you'll quicken your mortal body. If you'll put it in obedience to the word, because that soul comes predestined from God, that God's attribute expressed and displayed in a physical body. That God himself in his creation. Amen. And God in you will not be lusting after the world. God in you will be committed to fulfill all righteousness. He'll be about the Father's business. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a serious hour. We call in the middle of sort of shaking. There's a demonic pull from the outside. You see, those people could not be possessed. They might be oppressed, afflicted, tormented, obsessed with devils. But long as that blood covered the air, they have to reject that blood for you. When they reject that blood, they reveal word. That's why you better don't reject it. Proud of this place in your heart, marching onward, Christian soldiers. Because when they fail and they reject that word in unbelief, the soul that sinned disbelieve at what? The revealed word. Children of disobedience. Disobedience to what? The revealed word. Children of darkness. The old nature. Loved. The thing of the flesh, love the deeds are evil. They love darkness. Satan Eden. They hearing the message being preached, unproven, unvindicated, that Adam was unveiled in this day. Let there be a squirrel. Amen. That Eve, the body following the head, and being identified as she is the feminine spirit revealing another body. Amen. And the prophet said, the seventh day, all we break and shalom, the morning star come out and say good morning to every true Hebrew. And the millennium is being ushered in because he's supreme judge, because he's priesthood and his kingship. Amen. And you have come to the gathered redeemed subjects whose name is in the book. And the prophet called, this world is falling apart. Run for your life. And people see that. And you know what happens? They see all of that. And they're still lusting after something in Satan Eden. They're trying to plan for something in Satan Eden. To live in Satan Eden, you'll have to have the mark of the beast. Don't fool yourself. Check yourself tonight. Very first and important thing, you must learn about Jezebel. She's not a daughter of Abraham, nor is her induction to the tribes of Israel on a spiritual admission, and was that of Ruth the Moabitess. Notice this one was the daughter of Baal, king of Sidon, 1 Kings 16:31, who was a priest unto Astarte. He had gained the throne by murdering his predecessor, Phyllis. So we see right away that she was the daughter of a murderer. This reminds us of Cain. And the way she became a part of Israel is not through the spiritual channels that God ordained for Gentile admission. But she came by marriage to Ahab, the king of the 10 tribes of Israel. She couldn't come in Judah. She could again in Israel, not Judah. Amen. See, now this union, as we have seen, was not spiritual, it was political. Now, just giving you all this here to give you the time to understand this last 3.5 years here to see how it is plagued. Yes, it is plagued. Famine and death, and they call fire and they shut the heavens, and there is a water that they have. Moses will fill the blood, and the fish will stink again and cause a whole stench. Like it is back in Exodus. See? But then they don't finish there, no. Eventually they kill them to profit. And they rejoice. Oh, they got a great victory. And they send gifts. And they show on television because the whole world will see them. Look on television. They leave the body in the streets. All NBC and all the cameras will pick them up and through the satellite along the world, they want them to prophesy the men who plague the whole world. And the whole world will come and rejoice because it's controlled by the beast and its subject. They already hunted on the foolish virgins. You see what's happening? It's because a lot of carnal mathematics. A lot of people had a lot of things figured out in their mind. You see, they have kind of moved back to carnal mathematics tonight. All the 3.5 years, and then the rapture, and then the millennium, and then you have all the different things. Let's take the scriptures. Yeah. Amen. You see, because sometimes the prophets say, and after the bride goes up, and then this one comes down, that doesn't mean somebody shoots up, and then somebody drops down. So, no. Not like that at all. Amen. I don't know how long this battle I'm again going to be. I don't know how long that one natural day all the plagues will come. If the battle is finished for one day, God will prolong the battle, what you do? But just to give you a little type again and show you, the battle that started in heaven, the greatest battle ever fought, will finish in the battle of Armageddon.
Amen.
And before that great battle in heaven, they had that battle first, and then God created the Eden out of the chaos. Had darkness and chaos upon the face of the earth, and the Spirit of God moved and brought the Eden, and he had Adam and Eve and their dominion. And just before they step back into Adam and Eve and they restored Eden, here comes the greatest battle again. Michael and Lucifer in the battleground again, just before they step back in.
Amen.
Amen. See? So here now he says, now this union we have seen was not spiritual, it's political. And so this one who was steeped in idolatry did not have the least desire to become a worshiper of the one true God. But rather she came with the avowed intention of turning Israel away from the Lord. Because it's written that she's going to get the money tap and change the money system and trap them. See what's going to happen? Because she's smart. She's so smart that when Jezebel tried to get Elijah back there and kill him, he went up in a chariot of fire. But this time she got a hold of him. And she couldn't understand. See? But then you watch. When that army comes from heaven, when that supernatural, that super race, when that super church descends, you watch and see what's going to happen upon that woman there. Because it will be every one of them, but anointed, eternal life, filled with all the fullness of God. And so this woman who was seeking idolatry didn't have the least desire to become a worshiper, but rather she came with a bold intention to turn Israel away from the Lord. But from the time of Ahab's marriage to Jezebel, idolatry progressed in a deadly fashion. It was when this woman became a priestess in the temple that she erected to Astarte, Venus, and Baal, the sun god, that Israel came to the crisis point of her life. And that's where we come out right to the crisis point again. That's where we, in the spiritual form of it, is coming to a crisis point too. Because of she coming there with this spiritual Ahab America. See? And notice something. When Ahab was killed, Jezebel still continued on, you know.
Amen.
Ahab was killed and destroyed. And right now, the spiritual death has already struck America. Miss USA is a witch dancing the rock and roll music. Going down the hell. Bomber is busted to pieces. See, big fat and full and stuffy and can't stand the stress of the hour. Might have a nice name. See? But beyond that, amen. Now what's something? So from the time of Ahab married to Jezebel, idolatry progressed in a deadly fashion. And Israel came to a crisis point. And we have come to that crisis point here because it headed up right to a place now where we're going to see the same thing going to happen with Ahab here. He's going to get his own first.
Amen.
But his seventh vision has been a bomb that went California go down. And the Russian bomber explode. America and Titus destroy the church, the World Council of Churches. Who come against to crucify the message?
Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
But Jezebel goes on.
Amen.
She will get her own in the portion of Jezreel. Amen. According to what Elijah said.
Amen.
In other words, you know Jesus couldn't die outside of Jerusalem? So she can't be destroyed outside of that place. God's going to take her down there.
Amen.
Those are the cities of Roman Catholics all over the world.
Amen.
The Vatican City, that's just some buildings and a location of a place there. All the Roman Catholics are gathered in the Vatican City, you know. That city will be bombed out as a city.
Amen.
All the big St. Peter's Square and all this will be desolate.
Amen.
But the millions of Catholics will be in the armies going down the air. To be fed to the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. But those demons have already come upon them in a spiritual form because their life have left it. And from the time you see life begin to slip away, what them voices begin to come? And no longer you see them pictures of a man going through the desert and the horse goes first. And the horse can't make it. And then the man walks into the canteen of water and he's going through the desert. And every now and then he gets a little mirage in the desert. And he meets a cactus and tries to cut it open as you get any water inside it. And from the time when the sun begins to get real hot, then you see all of a sudden the vultures begin to fly around. Because they sense death. Now that's what's happening. That's only a natural picture to show you what is happening in the spiritual realm. From the time the life have left it, and the life in this age, what we call the life, is the person of the Holy Spirit, the life of Jesus Christ, that is identified by bringing out that part of the word that is to be revealed now. That part of the word totally identified the bride and proved that the feminine spirit in another body. Because while Eve was in Adam, she couldn't be expressed. She shall be taken out and put in another body in order to be revealed. Is that correct?
Amen.
All right. Then that spirit will match the female part of the word.
Yeah.
Because all them brides in the Bible held the mystery of the feminine spirit of the real bride. Because Jesus identified them from the law, the Psalms, the prophets, the kings, but never in Esther and Ruth and Rebecca and Sarah and all them. But when that real bride comes, her spirit will match that part of the word. Outside of that, he says, it's darkness upon the churches, failing to see the threefold mystery. So where is Laodicea? That's an age. There's only two people, children of darkness and children of light.
Amen.
Night and day is together right now.
Amen.
Children of obedience, children of disobedience. You see what's happening? So he said, it's darkness upon the churches, failing to see the light. The light came in those eyes and shine upon the white rock as light never shine upon to reveal that threefold mystery. And all hell is against that truth.
Yeah.
And when that is revealed in you and you recognize what part of the bridegroom you are, then you have the devil's answer.
Yeah.
Because those demons who the Euphrates River came to do what? Block out the sun. Block out the sunlight from striking the church. Destroy the darkness. And then, what the creatures of the night begin to come out. The street walkers. The underworld surfaces. The lid is taking off of hell and demon power streaming out. All kind of spirits infiltrate the message. Get the strategic places, the pulpit, the deacons. Have everything organized and well controlled. See? And have the people in their own little system. Build their own little kingdom. And except people don't have a discernment of the original spirit that came to the prophet and identified by the scripture. They will prove that it's just like even the first church. They couldn't hold the virtue sacred. Sacred womanhood, sacred motherhood, and then to bring for life. But this bride have to prove she's not like Eve, that she will not defile her skills. Yes. And to prove she's like Eve, God has to send seducing spirits. Yes. And seducing spirits will come the last day. Yes. To make them depart from the faith. I have to be a clergy. She will be false anointed ones. Just like the serpent and the Nicolaitans. Came in the first Adam and the first Eve. Come in the second Adam and the Omega Bride. Came in the last days with the Son of Man and the Omega Bride. Came in the second Adam and the Alpha Bride. And both them two brides fell. The Nicolaitans conquered the Ephesian church. The serpent conquered Eve. And the fourth and one is a cup that she can conquer this one. To see she really had the character she claimed. To see she loves sensation and pleasure. If you want to find out all them new things that have been loose upon the people. If you want to explore and get a better sensation than Adam could have given her. Adam didn't come to her and give her no sensation. The serpent came to give her sensation. That was the spirit and the power was crying against sensation because men was having a carnal affair to get the seed down. And there's an age where it must not come by man. That man, that reform age was over. But you and people don't know, and they give themselves over to any spirit. Because they don't know the revealed word who is really the husband. The Paul says, I fear less. All these other Jesus is being preached in your mind from the simplicity that is in Christ, making it turn to another gospel as the serpent beguiled Eve. He said, I'm a fear. Because you're not thinking about the sacred responsibility.
Hallelujah.
You think it's just been the message. You think it's just a go along and join a church. No, sir. Amen. Let me finish that close. So Ahab married Jezebel and he did it as a political maneuver. And that's what God is showing back there. It could be a political maneuver. It will come true in the last days. To strengthen his kingdom and secure it. And that's what the Jews going to get caught into the trap in Rome for. Because right now they're balling for better economic conditions. Peace with the Arabs. And they have this man Perez who is labor and he's not even inspired by the word. He has nothing to do with the word. And because the time and the season has come, they had to shift it over to get that man in the driver's seat. Because God set up kings and taken down King Daniel says.
Amen.
You know what Daniel says?
Hallelujah.
When the time for Herod to be there to fulfill a prophecy had to be right there? What? Look at all this thing coming in just after the people stopped calling it the Wailing Wall. They call it the Western Wall now. And so we're not waiting for nothing no more. This is our place. Amen. We're looking for Elijah to come. Amen. So then when you see what's happening, then where's the real bride now? Going to climb to. And then you're going to realize that all these years, people was being seduced, being deceived, being led astray, and they were doing ignorantly thinking they're worshipping God. He said, but that's the way Satan has done it in this age. And when you think you're going to get a great press, it's a great strength, it's a great force, and you wonder, well, why are you going through that? And then you're so carnal, you're not in the atmosphere of the world, you think it's some brother, you think some sister, you think somebody against you, you fail to realize that a prophet, when that book was opened in 1963, he began to identify all these things in this book, where it was taking place. All these mysterious things in the book of Revelation, he began to identify and place it out for us. Even down to the Eisenhower and Khrushchev, down to the Lucifer, the 200 million demons, when those ministers behave in a certain way, the prophet look back in the world, he said, what is going on? Those demons have been loosed, and it's upon those men inspiring them right now. Yes. The very same demons upon Hitler and them. Take a seat. Why? He was watching the word. He wasn't watching what college you went to. He wasn't watching how long they were preaching the gospel. He was watching where the inspiration was carrying them. Look at Martin Luther, hundreds of thousands of them. He said, if that man only knows he's demon inspired, he's communistic inspired. Amen. Before he teaches people to be born again, he tried to lead them to politics. Amen. When the man sits there, thought he's doing God a service. Yeah. But those people wasn't trained to watch the word. Amen. They were watching a good orator. Let me show you. Micaiah was watching what Elijah said. Yeah. Even though Zedekiah all had on the big robes, had on the big special presentation, they built two horns specially for the occasion. Somebody get a revelation until we symbolize it. We'll push them out with these horns. Yeah. See? And they had all figured out, we'll go up. It's possession time. We'll take the whole thing. He said, you go up and come back in peace, then God didn't talk to me. Amen. Amen. I see like scattered sheep. Because why? Why was they deceived and be taken to Armageddon? Why did all those prophets could have prophesied that lie? They rejected what Elijah was saying. Amen. They had the schools and they rejected what Elijah was saying. Look back in the scripture. We don't have time to go to out of Felicia tonight. But look back in the Bible and see, isn't that the same way in the Old Testament they tied, that's where they went out there and get slaughtered?
Yeah.
Let me give you another one again just to show you. In Daniel chapter 2. The rock called out hands. Come and smite the 10 toes. They had iron right down in it. And grind your image of powder and then grow up into a great mountain filled the whole earth, which is the kingdom of the God of heaven. And when did that take place? In there Moses and Elijah? Afterwards.
Amen.
So you see where all those powers, those Gentile kingdoms, those powers, all things really been destroyed, not in 3.5 years? They smite the land with plagues to bring out the 140,000. Now what they do there? And any man come against them, fire pursued to the mountain and killed him. Elijah called fire to his camp, burned up the military troops, and they tried to come and arrest him and these things.
Amen.
But then finally, they destroyed him. And they decided, well, since we destroyed the two prophets, well, everything is ours. And that's where when they really begin to show the real colors, then God comes in the scene. So I wanted to pass here first to prove that thing from the scriptures. I hope you see it. Enough of it tonight. I've been put out there so you can see it in the type and the symbol and watch and see that we'll refer back some, because I have so much on it, just to put it out there for you that you could see. But when we get to Revelation 15 and 16, you will see the tabernacle open up in heaven. And those seven angels came out with the golden girdles along the paps. After the bride had taken up and the sea was a glass of mingled fire. There was judgment now. And those seven angels, that tabernacle in heaven was what Moses saw and stone to represent on the earth.
Yes, brother.
And that same throne of mercy down through the seven church ages is the same throne of judgment. Because the girdle is around the cops now. You watch Revelation 1:14, 9-17 through there, where it talks about the supreme judge in Revelation. It's always connected with the bride. Has seven stars in his right hand. Revelation 19, he's coming up high like a flame of fire. Feel like fire, a sharp little come out of his mouth. He's coming to the bride. Revelation 15, watch them again. Tabernacle in heaven, seven angels coming out. They had the seven bars, and when John saw them, one of those angels to come and show him about the harlot, show him about the lamb wife, measure the city, and one of those angels, a prophet, that he bowed him to worship.
Amen.
Yeah. So when we get there, we're going to see where that's going to come out to. And let me give you I want to give you this because when he's preaching there on those seven trumpets, by inspiration, when God revealed the river Euphrates and show by the word, it was a spiritual river in Revelation, because God is really speaking of Babylon and her involvement in politics. And I told you Revelation 16, I even mentioned on the map that a lot of theologians thought was some Oriental communists going to ride on horses, and it was impossible because it's almost more than 15,000 miles through many countries just to come to the Euphrates River in an age when there are planes and all kinds of different things. It don't make sense. You see, so then I never saw this quote, and the Lord just leave me to it. And somebody asked a question here, and question answer in Seals, page 62, question 45. He said, you said many times that communism was raised up by God to serve his purpose as King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, where did communism fit into the picture that will finally do? How does it wind up? Many scholars believe that in the kingdom of the north, Gog and Magog mentioned in scriptures, goes on against Israel. You see, I can't make out just what that is. I believe some of the tapes taken, you said it would finally drop, the communism will finally destroy Catholicism or the Vatican by an explosion. Is that right? But Ron says, yes, Revelation 16. No, Revelation 16 is the virus. And the only, I told you, Revelation 16 is six vials. When the waters dry up was the bomb on the Vatican, breaking the Roman power. And then he said, Revelation 16, you will find it. And Revelation 18:8, he said, if the person's here and wants it, take it away. Say, and they saw the smoke of her burning. It couldn't be natural fire, he says, like a house burning down because the city is too big. It's an atomic explosion because it was burning 1 hour. So look and see, right now, how all those things are already in a phase of their fulfillment. Those things are not going to happen. The final destruction is going to come at that time.
Amen.
But the powers are already consolidated now. And those demon powers that is loose to come against the bride. And many people trapped in a web, caught up under the heavens and the pressure. And they're wondering what's going on. You want to be no wondering, stand out. You have to look at the word and seeing that what is spoken by God to a prophet who was speaking the word. And God knew what he spoke, and yet God fulfilling what he said to the prophet. Isn't God to send the prophet to speak something, vindicate in that way, and then don't bother with what he said and go and do something else?
No.
Look in the Bible here in Elijah and see what happened. So, we see by the grace of God later on about investigative judgment, when it ends and when it begins. And the insane age, Laodicea, I want to preach a bit there, in the insane age. And when they go into insanity, the bride goes into the mind age, the mind of Christ. And hell is filling the earth. And perfect love is here among the bride to go there. He himself has come and drop amongst them. Because they must have it to go there. Perfect love himself. So the sixth dimension is here. We get so close to them, and then hell is here. And I said, you reject the word, it make a way for the devil to become incarnate in the people. He said, believe the word, it make a way for the Holy Ghost to become incarnate in you.
Amen.
It's simple. Or come right back to what your attitude is towards the message. So you can know all these things, but what your attitude towards the message.
Amen.
got all these things being placed on the scriptures. That's happening. That you know as news. Modern events being made clear by the vindicated prophecy of Malachi 4. He gave us that vindicated prophecy to become our eye salve. That our eyes could be anointed. That we can see how late the hour is. We can see it's not time to be playing around and wandering around. But it's time to wake up and trim your lamps. Get on the move. Be ready to give out every man a reason of the hope that's inside of you. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. The hour is here. Bible says, he that is filthy will be filthy still. He that is holy will be holy still. And if you're sensitive and you understand what's going on, you will see we right here in this church is going through a change too. It's coming to a place. The anointing, the inspiration, the way the Spirit is speaking is going different now. This is all you have to measure. The bell is ringing today from Honduras. They're hoping to get the meeting set. The people there waiting, trying to get all the ministers together so we can have the meeting there. Look at 35 you have in Barbados. Simple. One person. More. It's one a million God wants. God wants a big crowd. He wants one who will believe the word.
Amen.
What are you tonight? That's all God wants. One that will believe it with the whole heart, the whole soul. They believe it that they will begin to act upon it. If God has sent a message of preparation and a pillar of fire vindicated that message and the Holy Spirit is token for consolation, if you recognize that to be the truth and you see that God cared for you, that He said it, then do you care for God now? And after you recognize the truth, you begin to act upon it. And if you are convinced, you'll be concerned. That the Spirit that spoke so expressly to the prophet, identifying all these things to us, and here as it unfolds down, and the Spirit gives us grace, and we grow in grace and knowledge of the word, it becomes real to us. And then we begin to understand why there's a debt. Why there's a famine? Why there's an insanity? Why there's a kind of attitude that don't care the people? Why do people take things lightly? Why are those things becoming so expressed in the people? So vivid? When we see the hour, and we see some of those people, how long they were under the word, it makes you think deeply. To see that the prophet said death would strike everything, man, woman, child, boy, girl, church, that was not under the token. Go back to the token here. Had a time when God moved him into Goshen quickly, where the spiritual happened, something fixed to happen. Look at the grace of God right here amongst us. This mysterious book, go inside of there, it will speak to us. And showing us that all these things is being fulfilled. So you could be convinced. That's why it's being said, you know. So you can see everything is being fulfilled. Where everything is placed. So you will not wonder whether it is right or not right. Whether it should sell out. Whether the risk is. You're not taking no risk. You seeking eternal life and taking a risk. You making your election sure and you're taking a risk. That ain't no risk. It's devil might try to tell you the risk. Labor for me that perisheth not. Lay a hold on eternal life. Because remember, you don't have to die to say, well, I ain't that dead that I could get a chance. If that soul is dead, that soul reject the word. Remember, every time you hear it, one of these days you'll hear it the last time and you'll hear it no more. You'll have no more conviction to want to live it. And when you know you're supposed to have a conviction, because you watch your life going one way and you watch you listen to the hour, and there's no conviction, you're going to get scared. Make sure there's a craving, an inward hunger in you, a thirst, not for success, not for pleasure in the world. A lot of people have thirst for that. But the prophet said, I'm thirsting for the living God. Like the heart panted after the water brook. I'm thirsting to see a minister of the third pole among the people who start the rapture in faith. I'm thirsting to see a power that could bind a member. I'm thirsting to see something could bring total deliverance. What you're thirsting, make sure you're thirsting for that tonight. If that's a thirst inside of your heart, if that's what you want, let us see more of you. Sing it prayerfully, meaningfully, sincerely. Sing it to Him. That you, the artificial one, the Holy Spirit. I hunger still tonight, even now, Lord. Father, Lord, from the depths of our heart, like that heart, how it's losing blood and running for its life. The pack of wild dogs is coming swiftly after it with one purpose, to get the fangs into her flesh, to destroy her, to devour her. Oh God, she realized the only hope was to find a water brook. She was panting for the water brook. The Lord then struck David with inspiration. And you impressed him deeply as you looked upon it, Lord. It was a matter of life and death. It was an urgency.
The time of desperation. Father, so we feel that we have come to a time Lord, we want to have that peace that passes all understanding. That full assurance. That anchor of the soul. That we can only come, Lord, by your divine approval. To know that you are pleased with us, Lord. Lord, when we can look at ourselves and search our hearts and search our lives in sincerity, in honesty. Go deep down, Lord, even the secret things in our hearts. For Lord, it's spoken unto us that our very own thoughts speak louder in heaven than our words on earth. How much care we take many a time to speak the right words on earth. Not to offend, to please, to win favor, to impress, to get close to. Oh God, most of the times, Lord, we fail to realize that our thoughts that we think is speaking louder than that. For your word is a sharp-edged sword that divided asunder even the soul and the spirit, the bone and the marrow, searching the thoughts and the intent of the heart. As we stand before your throne tonight, as we stand in your presence with hearts bowed before you, search us, O God. Know our hearts today. Try us, O Savior, know our thoughts, we pray. See if there be some wicked way in us, Lord. And cleanse us from every sin and set us free. Oh, Heavenly Father, we can feel the pressures, the pull, the demonic influences, the powers of darkness, the rulers of this world, principality and power, spiritual wickedness, moving in, Lord, coming against the bride, as the Spirit of God is drawing back. The age of going into apostasy, and the world is covered with darkness, and hell is here, and the devil that possesses the people. The blood of Jesus Christ has been trampled upon. But Lord, I pray tonight, Father, that your hand that is not too short it can't save, that outstretched arm of Almighty God would stretch forth throughout this congregation to anyone, Lord, that would want to reach out to touch you, that reaching out for deliverance, Lord. For in their hearts they realize the dogs, the wild dogs get a hold of them. They are finished. But it's a thirsting within them for the living God. It's a cry for reaching out in the Spirit. It's a passion to know your word. It's a fervent desire to please you. Let there be a real, genuine sincerity and a sacredness, Lord, come into our hearts. As we realize this is a sign of maturity, let it be a real confession, a real cleansing. Oh God, realize that this is the process you go through before you commission a person, make him a prepared servant. Let it be reverence in our hearts and humility, Lord. Lord God, let the vision break tonight. Let us serve him, the heavenly servant, the example, be so vivid before our eyes. And we know to behave ourselves in the presence of the Almighty God. For Lord, we can feel in our hearts, and by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, is not much longer, Father. Have your way amongst us tonight. You have spoken your word. You have laid it out. Too much more can be said, but the time has been passed already for tonight.
And the thing I've been spoken, I pray that it'll be impressed by the Holy Spirit in the right way. Let it have the right effect upon the lives of the people. Let it strike them the right way, Lord. It wouldn't just be a knowledge of some things that they might think is in the future somewhere. But Lord, they would see the word of God is coming to pass. And the hour is at hand. Judgment soon shall be poured out. Death is striking many. Many are enchained with darkness. But Lord, bind us with chains of your word. Bind us with chains of light and make us a prisoner. The God said the Lord. We know nothing save Jesus Christ. Real prisoners, Father. As you are showing our brother, you have to take us in prison many times to teach us how to become prisoners. Oh God, if there be a prison for me, if there be a prison for my brother, my sister, Lord, take us in that prison, Father. Teach us to become real prisoners, Lord. Let us be shut away in the confines of your spirit. Isolated from this world. We're going to be shut in your presence and get still, you hear a still small voice speaking. We'll wrap ourselves in a mantle. We can be veiled with the holy veil. Hallelujah. Walk out filled with the presence of the living God. God, let that Holy Spirit make the bride a holy bride. A holy city adorns a bride for a bridegroom. Grant that, Father. Let our skills be defiled. Let our garment be spotted by the flesh. But Lord, may that graceful stride, that meek spirit, O God, be in full display. That we can see Jesus Christ. Come to speak to our hearts as you meditate upon these things. Come to teach us further in these truths. Let us bypass us, Lord, but let it become real unto us. I will leave this place and go to our homes. Thinking upon the hour and the things that are happening and what it all means and what it all signifies. May we accumulate all these things, Lord, and may we reveal the spiritual background. That we can recognize the hour. How far advanced we are. That we can know truly the masterpiece has been unveiled. Truly the hour has come that a bride should be glorified. Blessed be your name. Dismiss us now from this place, Father. May your presence go with us. May it keep us shut in that place, that secret place. Where we can have fellowship with you face to face, Lord. May it bring us back tomorrow. Out early, reverent, consecrated before you. You might come to speak to our hearts and attract us to the things that your Holy Spirit sees so needful. We might focus our attention upon. You might be influenced from above. And we might fulfill all righteousness. These things are spoken of us in this hour. We thank you for the time we have spent and what we have received tonight. We give you all honor and all glory for it. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And God bless you. You may have a seat. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. The ushers will dismiss you quietly. Try to come out early again tomorrow. Let's be on time. Come right in. And you just let the Holy Spirit say, let go and let God have his wonderful in your life. You just yield yourself. You can't do nothing. But you can surrender. You can hate the evil. And you can desire that God put it out of your heart. That transforming power begin to transform you. And renew you by in the renewing of your mind. To make you a new creature. The old things to pass away. All things to become new. Let us sing in the presence. In his presence.
at his right hand. Pleasure.